Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
The message today is the cross transforms us who believes. Now you see it on the screen, it says the cross unites us who believe. But as I listened to the monologue of those two young men, I changed the title right there instantaneously. I don't think I've ever changed a title in the middle of my message, but I felt as I listened to them, it's the transformation. I didn't even have time to get to the back to say I've changed it and would be too late because we have such an incredible media team. Would you give them a great round of applause? I'm going to read today from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 to 30. And here we go. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 to 30, the wisdom of God. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it is all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Verse 30. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from our sins. Good Friday is about Christ's death on the cross. I purposely skipped this 1 Corinthians 1 powerful Easter passage when we started the Corinthians series, because I knew that we were coming to the point where it would be about the death of Christ. And this first passage is about the death of Christ and why we encourage others to believe in the good news of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every chapter in Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians reflects what his preaching was about. Paul's preaching was about the death of Jesus. His theme was the death of Jesus. The message was the death of Jesus. The principles for life is this: keep focus on the purpose of the death of Jesus. That's what it's all about. We're reminded in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, the last verse before we started today in verse 18. Here's what that verse that preceded verse 18 says. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. There are many that want cleverness and all the worldly things to make them feel good about God. And Paul says it's the simplicity that brings us back to the point. The cross is powerful all by itself. It needs no human intervention. So when we preach the good news of Jesus Christ, it becomes the words of wisdom to everyone, and everyone in the world needs that wisdom. The good news of Jesus Christ becomes the words of wisdom that everyone in the world needs. The world's looking for wisdom. Wisdom is in the words of Christ. Wisdom is in acknowledging the death of Christ. Without acknowledging the death of Christ, it is simply foolishness to say one knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone who preaches the gospel of Christ to entice or entertain, or they are using foolish words of human wisdom, which makes the cross null and ineffective. We don't pay you to come to Easter service. We will fill that arena on Easter Sunday because people are coming to hear the words of Christ. We're not giving gifts so that people will come to get a gift. The gift is eternal life, and that's the greatest gift that will take each person into eternity. One commentary says this: no teacher should set out to impress people with their style, delivery, flowery words, charisma, new novel ideas, or anything personal, speculation, or personal revelation. God expects us to preach both the gore and the glory of the cross just as it occurred. For those in the days when that movie came out, The Passion of Christ, which depicted Christ on the cross in all the blood and the gore, in which it was a rendition of how it occurred on that day. The film critics gave that movie an R rating, saying it was bloody and gory and scary for children. And yet, those same film critics has everything demonic, destructive. They depict dead people. They depict weird concepts of all kinds of demonic forces. And they don't give that an R rating because in the wisdom of the world, they want the demonic to be lifted up. But we, the people of Christ, said that is foolish wisdom because that does not bring hope or joy or life or strength or peace to a generation. But when they see that someone, the mighty King of Glory, died on the cross for them, it brings a hope that will take them through every situation in their life. The message of the cross is the only way to truth, and truth establishes the real meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? It's to have truth. Where is truth? It is Christ Jesus. No other message on earth can reconcile people back to God, placing them under God's divine and daily care. No other message on earth can restore humans from their depravity and put them into God's acceptable plan and purpose for their lives. That is why I said it's the transformation. When you listen to the thief on the cross that was rendered today, you recognize that thief was sitting there saying, I deserve everything, but he took it all from me and gave me an opportunity, even in this very moment, to make it into heaven. No other message can renew broken lives and grant perfect assurance of God's daily love and protection, such as Peter, who ended up going back on the boat in despair, recognizing he failed God. But God's peace came to him. God's provision showed up, and he began to see God is a forgiving God, a loving God, a redeeming God, a transforming God, a restoring God. No other God like the Christ Jesus. So Paul in Corinthians declares the two categories for the status of life. One is perishing, which is moving consistently downward toward a despairing grave. And the second is being saved, moving consistently upward towards an eternal life. Let's begin with perishing. Perishing means being gripped more and more by the flesh and the deterioration of life here on earth without hope of a heavenly future. Perishing means living forever without hope, without purpose, no meaning, no true significance, nothing that satisfies. Have you ever noticed that no matter how many billions someone has, they can't seem to wrap themselves in it, bury themselves in gold, and find satisfaction? They still need more. But one touch from the power of Almighty God, and everything in the soul is filled up. Perishing means existing without real peace that comes from an assurance and a confidence that God is with you, keeping you secure in his arms. The story of Mary would have brought that out. Where no matter what she came from, he said, it's not where you came from, it's where you're going. Oh, glory to God. Perishing means being condemned to die and at some point face God's judgment. But no one wants to face that judgment without the promise of a glorious eternal life in heaven with God. Many people want heaven, but they don't want God. But being saved, it means experiencing the continuous flow of God's presence with you here on earth while you prepare for heaven. Being saved means knowing that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will guide and teach you, comfort and keep you as you exist in the land of the living. How many have gone through situations where you feel you couldn't make it, but because of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope you have in your heart, you are able to say, he will keep me in perfect peace as I keep my mind on him. Being saved means feeling the love and joy and peace that is unexplainable despite any type of circumstance that you face in this earthly life. Many of you have suffered losses, loss of loved ones, loss of relationship, loss of children, so many losses. How do you make it today with so many losses? It's because the peace that passes all understanding that comes from the one called Christ Jesus is with you. Being saved means grasping the reality that you did nothing to deserve this glorious life, but Christ Jesus died to give it to you freely, and the witness of the Spirit of God is with you, helping you minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. When you feel helpless, you feel the help of the Spirit, who, Christ Jesus, who left his Holy Spirit upon us, saying, though I am gone back to heaven, lo, I am with you always. So here's the reason why this privilege of salvation is so incredible. Salvation is a gift. It's a free gift to all. But the gift cost the life of the divine Savior. He gave up his life for every person here, online, worldwide, to have an opportunity to go to heaven. That's why we sing, how marvelous, how wonderful. That's all my song can ever be. And so we listen to these factors that Ephesians tells us. Ephesians 2, 5 to 6 and verse 8. Even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. That's why I was going to preach united with Christ. I switched it because of the monologues. But he wants you to know you are so united with Christ. Imagine the divine Savior. I'm united with him. Woo. Somebody ought to jump up and kiss themselves on that one. God saved you by his grace even when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So we choose the wisdom of God over the foolishness of this world. For only those desiring godly wisdom understands wisdom. Only those desiring godly wisdom understands wisdom. The cross of Christ exposes the foolishness of human reasoning. Here's a bit of what Paul tells us. He says, Jews sought after signs from heaven. The Jews considered the good news of Christ to be foolish because they thought the Messiah would be a conquering king accompanied by signs and miracles that destroyed everyone else. They expected the Old Testament law to continue as it was before and that the Messiah would restore David's throne. They expected a person of great power who would impress the world and make the Greeks look inferior to them. Yet Jesus came humbly on a donkey. So he was ridiculed and reviled and even crucified by them. How could this foolishness be the king from heaven? How could this be the Messiah they've been looking for? So they had no faith in God's power to do what God desired. This was a demand-oriented society. Show me what I want to see, how I want to see it, and then I'll believe. Isn't that today? Show me what you have. Show me. And then because it's a visual generation, show me, and then I'll believe. And Christ said, believe and I'll show you. Us humans want our lives to be full and free, but we want it on our own terms. We want things our own way, just as the Jews and the Greeks did, because the earthly fleshly desire is try and do things on your own terms. And if God gives you that power, then take it for yourself so you can be grander. And Jesus said, no, get humbler, because the power is to release it to the world. The fleshly desires to gain more power and have a greater position than others. It's to obtain recognition and fame at any cost so that we can have more commodities and make other people jealous. But the reverse is this. The cross of Christ was about sacrifices. Humans prefer not to sacrifice anything, but instead we love to hide and hoard and enamor ourselves and build up ourselves, and all of those things will perish with us. And the Jews wanted a powerful king, not so that the world would be saved. They wanted a powerful king so they would have more status, more fame, and more commodity. Isn't that just today? Greeks, on the other hand, they sought for earthly wisdom. Greeks considered the good news to be foolish because they did not believe anyone could resurrect from the dead. In their system, gods were declared and the dead remained dead, and then they were venerated as wonderful gods. Plus, they felt no reputable person could be crucified, especially among common thieves. So they saw the death of Jesus as a defeat, not a victory. We know the victory is in the cross that Christ died on. They're like, how could a humble servant walked amongst all kinds of lowly people, even sickly people, even demon-possessed people, even those that had every type of background. They're like, this couldn't be the palace type of person. It doesn't correlate with our wisdom. How could they accept such a person as the great Messiah, the King of Glory? And today, we're reminded that neither science, nor technology, nor education, nor good works can procure love, peace, joy, or everlasting life. The Greeks didn't see the cross as acceptable. But we want to remember today, absolute assurance of eternal life comes in accepting the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, even when you don't understand it. The Jews said, our little minds that God created can't grasp it, so it doesn't happen. And that's the world today. They say, we're so educated that we don't understand that. And you have many family members and friends who will tell you from their educated status why they can't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't need to argue it because the gospel speaks for itself. Because one day they will stand before the great King of glory. Whether they chose to believe or not believe, everyone will stand account before God. Because wisdom is created by God. It was not created by humans. So Christ's death provides life-giving power to the believer. The cross is God's answer to the depravity of humanity. That he created perfect humans in a perfect garden. Became flawed by the appetite of what? Rebellion, which leads to sin, which requires a pardon. The cross shows that there is an answer. There's an answer for rebellion. There's an answer for emptiness. There's an answer for humans who just want more for themselves. Power, fame, increased commodities and goods. Oh, all of that is coming to naught because no matter what you have, it can go in an instant. The only thing that is everlasting is what you have in your heart, and that is the knowledge and the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely, no human can reach God or find any other truth to solve the world's problem. Only the love of Jesus Christ can. So this is what the message of salvation, this is why the message of salvation is so foolish to the others. It's so simple. See, if he made it elaborate, where only the rich could get in or the famous could get in, many others would accept it, trying to get rich and famous themselves so they could be there. But he said it's for all, no matter what level, no matter what background. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because it was his plan from the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. From the beginning of time. From the beginning of time until now, he's been showing us Christ Jesus. The phenomena of the cross is this. Its power is available to all. Just imagine with me for a moment what the world would be like without Jesus Christ. A loveless, compassionless, self-centered, self-absorbed, selfish, cannibalistic world. Yes, you can imagine it, because multitudes without Christ are operating in that worldly wisdom. But now, can you also imagine what the world would be like if everyone believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? People would be loving each other, caring for each other, giving to each other, focused on each other, and we would all be better, and the world would be better, and our society would be better, and our nation would be better, and our world wide would be better. We wouldn't have selfishness, hoarding, and fighting, clamoring, and destroying innocent people, innocent children, innocent lives around the world. We wouldn't see the wars of Ukraine. We wouldn't see the atrocities that we're seeing in the Middle East. We wouldn't see all of that if people acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the life, and his life is about love, love for God, love for other, and love for ourselves. The Greeks wanted more knowledge to have more personal power and dominance. The Jews wanted more power to have more status and more religiosity. But Christ did not come for religiosity, for status, or for dominance. No. He came not for the rituals or the ceremonies. He came for righteousness. The cross of Christ does this major work. It takes the power struggle of humans out of the hands of those who refuse Christ's power to impart change. And instead, the cross places in their hearts the power to love and to sacrifice unto God. The cross, simplicity and humility. God does not call people to this gospel because they're wise or powerful or born in a high status. Here's what Galatians 2:20 says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Let me just have each one of us read that again. In the auditorium, in the gathering room, in the gym, online. Let's read this together. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah! So God calls all people, and his call is clear. It is to the wise and it is to the simple. It is to the humble, it is to everyone. He calls us so that we would shame those with earthly wisdom. We'll shame them by using the foolish things, a Savior crucified on a cross between two thieves. He called us to shame the strong by using the weak things of the world, giving the weak wisdom to confound the earthly wisdom of humanity. He called us and placed us on equal status. All who call on his great name, they will have the opportunity for eternal life. So here it is, friends. God has a purpose. Eliminate human boasting in its earthly foolishness and unleash true and real wisdom to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want wisdom? It's in Christ. Do you want to argue with the Bible and argue with God? Well, there comes a time you will stand before God and your argument cannot stand up, for you had every opportunity to know the truth which sets free. I mentioned earlier, we're going to see some persecution against the Word of God. It's frightening, but it's also good. Every nation where they've been persecuted for the gospel, we get out of our apathy and there begins to be a revival. The underground churches have grown exponentially where they're persecuted. But in a nation where lax and an unacceptability of the word by those who say they believe, it creates non-acceptability from those who don't believe. We've got to believe what we believe, share what we believe, know what we believe, stand for what we believe, and when it gets tough, we remember God will give us wisdom to confound the wise. He'll give us wisdom to confound the wise. I think I shared this story before, but I'll do it again. I remember when I was preaching in India, and I used to preach a lot in the universities and preach, not preach, but talk. They would bring me in to do talks. And they brought me into a technological university, thousands of students. And I gave just a basic talk on the principles of God through the story of Daniel. And then there's question and answer. And the question and answer with minds like that, that are so high end, for a feeble little preacher like me, it was daunting. But I had prayed, fasted, trusted God. And the questions were coming hard and fast. One of the questions was, if wisdom is only from God, how come humans have been able to create things like the pyramid and then technology and communication tools And I'm standing there, and in your foolishness, you always say, God, there's an answer. So I paused. I whisper a prayer. See, God hears our prayers when you're stuck in front of someone. I was in front of an entire university of high-minded people. And all I could say is, Holy Spirit, give me an answer for that one. And then all of a sudden, he says, open your mouth and I'll fill it. I said, that is excellent wisdom that humans have used. Have we come to the place, and this is God speaking now, this cannot come from me. I said, have we come to the place yet in the way that God created the Garden of Eden where they spoke to each other without words and where God could hear them and they could hear God? Have you designed that place yet where you can hear the voice of God direct from heaven just as he created it in the Garden of Eden? It says they walked and talked with God. Can you do that? And they looked. I'm sure they'll try, but they'll never accomplish it because God created the mind and he gave the mind a limited capacity to accomplish only what he will release. What's the cross? Thank you. What's the cross message to us all today? I love it. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are heading for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligence. That is why to all of us who have been serving the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, he's the master over our life and our destiny. He's the master over my destiny. And I trust he's the master over your destiny. The peace that he gives me, no one can take away. The promise that he gives me is sure. And so I allow him to guide my life, and I pray today you allow him to guide your life. The wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. And the wisdom of the wisest, he confounds it. But here's who we are in Christ. We're all going to read this together. Because this is what culminates the cross. Gather in room, get ready. Gym, get ready. In-house, get ready. Online, get ready. Read it to your spirit, read it in faith. Here we go. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentiles. The Jews thought he was not the Messiah, for he came humbly. The Greeks, the Gentiles, felt he could not be the Messiah because he did not come with the status that we honor. And he says, don't be ashamed, because I come in the simplicity of the cross that saves all. Bow your heads with me. Father, in the name that is greater than any other name, I submit this word that can bring life to all who believe. And I pray right now in the power of the Spirit that you would speak to hearts, minds, souls, that those who've been looking for another answer would recognize there is no other answer. The answer is Jesus Christ died to save us from our sins. And you're awaiting each one responding with thanks for the gift you've given them, the gift of salvation. Salvation is a turnaround. Turn around now. Turn from your own mentality. Turn from your sins. Turn from your lack of faith. Turn from your questioning the word. Turn to Almighty God. So Father, let that turn be right here, right now.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.